Today I want to share about God's plan of salvation. God's plan. See, God is filled with wisdom, and He has greater plans than what we realize. So we just have to look to God and also walk in that wisdom that God has for us. God says if we lack wisdom, we should ask Him, and He will give us wisdom. So it's a very important prayer for your life. You should be always asking God, God, give me your wisdom. Now I want to go back to the beginning of time, or even the before time was created, when there was only God. And what was God thinking, and how is He coming up with His plan, and what really is God's plan? God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are greater than our ways. But God reveals His plans and purposes to those who are willing to receive His revelation. So if you are open to God, you can receive more of God's revelation, receive more understanding, so that you can understand God's plan for yourself, for your children, for your family, and you can walk in God's plan for your life. Okay, God is eternal, without beginning and without end. He has always existed. No one made God, no one created God. No, God is the Creator. He created all things. And God is love. And within God, there is the eternal love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there has been this eternal love, eternal communication of God, which is so great and so wonderful. So to know God's love, you also have to be a part of knowing that communication between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, God is a maker. He's a creator. He's a designer. He wants to make things. He wants to build things. So first of all, God made a place called heaven. We've all heard about a place called heaven, but what really is this place? God made angels, and God made different creatures. The Bible talks about certain different creatures that are in heaven. Some have two wings, some have six wings, some are covered in eyes, and who knows what else is in heaven. The Bible talks about Jesus coming back on a white horse, so we know that there are horses in heaven. So there are many different creatures and different things in heaven, but ultimately the most common is what we call angels. So let's think of millions and millions of angels in heaven. We don't know the exact number, but it's got to be a very big number of angels. Okay, God created the angels, and he created everything, and he made everything good. And he created the angels innocent. But there is a difference between being innocent and being holy. It's a big difference. I want you to know the difference between being innocent and being holy, because this is a part of God's plan. So God had to even allow the angels to be tested. Were they going to walk in God's light? Were they going to love God? Or were they going to turn away from God? So to allow the angels to be tested, God allowed each of them to make their own choice. And just as God is testing the angels, God is testing each one of us. It's a part of God's plan. Now there was an evil being, and he became evil because he turned away from God. And when he turned away from God, he turned away from all that was good, all that was righteous, all that was holy, all that was perfect. And that's why evil first began. Evil comes from turning away from God. So this person who was called Lucifer, who eventually became known as the devil or Satan, he was turning away from God. And that is turning away from light, and that is the beginning of sin, the beginning of darkness. And the devil got one third of the angels who also chose to be evil and wicked to follow him. And of course, the devil had to be thrown out of heaven, and all these evil angels, they became demons. So God gave the choice to the angels. The angels that wanted to follow God, they became the holy angels. The angels that turned away from God, they became demons, became evil spirits. There is a difference between being innocent, that's when we've got the choice. We've got the choice of becoming holy or becoming evil. Now, with the angels, there is no forgiveness of sins because they lived in God's perfect light. They saw God face to face. So there is no excuse for the angels that followed the devil. They knew the full truth. So there is no forgiveness of sins for any of the fallen angels. There is no salvation for the devil. Now, I have heard of a person who was praying that the devil would get saved. No, that's ridiculous. The devil is 100% pure evil, and there is no sacrifice for the demons or for the fallen angels to come back to God. They are without excuse for their sin. So the devil is destined to the lake of fire. And the devil wants to take as many angels, but now wants to take as many human beings away from God into the path of evil. Okay, now we come to God wanting to make his most special creation, his most special, wonderful creation. And of this creation, he says, I'm going to make them in my own image. This is God's most wonderful creation. And who is it? It is you. It is me. It is Adam and Eve, the first human beings. And God created Adam from the dust. Now, I believe that God did this for an amazing, amazing, special purpose. And when you see the purpose, you will see that God has a far greater purpose for us than what he had for the angels. And it's an amazing purpose that God has for you if you walk in God's purpose for your life. So God took the dust and he formed a body of flesh and blood. But then he breathed into the dust and he breathed his spirit, and this dust became a living soul. It also became a spirit. But the difference between us and angels is that angels did not have a body of flesh and blood, but we as human beings have this body. Now, Adam and Eve, they then had the choice. If they listened to God, they could have eaten from the tree of life and lived forever. But if they turned away from God, God allowed them to be tested with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God allowed the serpent in the form of the devil to tempt them. And we know the story. If you know the Bible, you know the story well. Eve, she listens to the serpent. The biggest mistake really was Adam. Adam was not being a true man of God. He was not taking care of his wife. He was not leading his wife closer to God. So the one who truly caused the fall of man was not Eve, it was Adam. As sin entered the world through Adam's sin. And he is responsible for that. So God, in his great wisdom, knew that sin would bring death to this human body. But God, in his great wisdom, had a plan of salvation. And that was that God himself in Jesus Christ would take upon himself a human body, would take upon himself the body of man in order to pay the price for our salvation. So yes, man sinned and it brought death to our body. And we are all living under that curse, even today. And none of us know how long we have to live. That is the curse of sin and death. But God had us in this human body. You know, angels don't have a body. You know, Jesus did not die on the cross to save angels. No, it's not possible. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save human beings. So as I said, the angels saw God's light, so they have no excuse for their sin. But we are born in darkness. We are born in a sinful world. We are born under the curse of sin. We are born separated from God. None of us have seen God face to face. We are born in this lost world. We are born separated from God. So that's why God, in his great love, God, in his great love for you, wanted to do the most amazing thing. And that he, in Jesus Christ, wanted to become one of us. So that is the good news of salvation, that Jesus Christ came from heaven. And he didn't come as an angel. No, he came as a human being. He was born as a child, as a baby. And he grew up as one of us. And he walked among us. And Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. God taking upon himself the dust that he created from the ground. It's an amazing thing that the Creator became like one of his creation. This is the great love of God. And that's why the most famous Bible verse is John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So we are born in a body that is perishing. We are born in a body that is dying because of the sin and because of the curse that is upon this world. But Jesus Christ, in taking upon himself the human body, the human flesh, was so that he could take that curse upon himself. He could carry our curse so that he could carry our sin. I always like to explain people why the blood of Jesus is so powerful to save us. We are all born with the sinful blood. But Jesus Christ had a supernatural birth, a virgin birth. He was born without the sin of man. That's why Jesus Christ has the holy, righteous blood. I could not die on a cross to save you. You could not die on a cross to save me. You have the sinful blood. I have the sinful blood. But Jesus Christ has the righteous, holy blood. That's why his blood has the power to wash away our every sin and to wash away the sins of the world. So it's because of God's love that he gave that sacrifice. And it's the greatest sacrifice that God himself could make. There is nothing better he could give. It is the greatest sacrifice. It is the revelation of God's love. And when you open up your heart to Jesus, you can receive that love of God into your heart. When you are filled with that love, you also have that love in your family. You have the love of God for your child. See, God is a perfect, loving father. Unfortunately, in this world, many fathers fail in their responsibilities for their children. But God, he is a perfect, loving father. And we have to see the perfection of God. We have to see the light of God. And we ourselves have to receive that, so that it can be in us, and that so it can come through us, so that we can also give it to others. And it's because of God's love that he gave. So he gave Jesus Christ for the whole world out of his great love. So you just understand and receive by faith the perfection of God's love. Gave his son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish. That means that the price of sin has been paid so that we can have a complete, full salvation. Okay, Jesus, he did his miracles, healing the sick, casting out demons. He even rose the dead. But he knew that the greatest work was taking the sins of the world upon himself. And actually, it's been put that there were 7 occasions that his blood was shed. First of all, in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat became like drops of blood. There was the crown of thorns that was put on his head. There was, in the prophet Isaiah, it talks about how his beard was pulled out. There was the nails that went through his hands and his feet, and there was also the spear that went into his sides. So in 7 different ways, the righteous, holy blood of Jesus was shed for the sins of the world, so that we can have peace with God, so that our hearts can be clean, and in God's eyes we can be accepted. And God can say, yes, your sins are forgiven. You are my child. Jesus had to break the curse of death. There is no salvation without that curse being broken, because sin brought death, and the wages of sin, the pay of sin, is death. But the good news is that even death has been conquered. Satan has been conquered. The devil has been defeated, because on the 3rd day Jesus rose from the dead, the grave could not hold him. You know, Satan certainly didn't want Jesus to rise from the dead. And Satan at that time had the power of death. Satan had the keys of death. So Satan thought, no one can get out of my grip, out of my hand. But Jesus came to defeat Satan and to break the power of death. So we should not have any fear of death. If we do have that fear, we have to come to Jesus, ask him to save us and give us the gift of eternal life, so that we know that when we die, we will go to heaven, that we are ready for God, that we are accepted by God. And that is why the most important thing is to make sure of the salvation of your soul. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And that's why many people, they put all their effort into the ways of the world. And there's, you know, God blesses hard work. But if you are working for yourself and you are not rich towards God, what have you got? You've got nothing. And when you die, you're a lost soul. So that's why there are many warnings in the Bible to rich people not to be deceived by their riches, but to be faithful to God, to bless, to have a giving heart. And there were also rich people who did follow God, did do what was right, and they were blessed, and they were helpful to other people. And so it's good to be able to bless other people and to help other people. But we cannot save ourselves by our own good works. We can't think, oh, I helped this person, so that means I'm going to go to heaven through my good works. No, our good works don't take away our sins. Our good works are to come from a motive of we love God and we love one another. They are the 2 greatest commandments. You have to love God first. Then secondly, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. So yes, our good works do not take away our sins. But our good works should come when we have a true heart of faith in God. And when we have true love for God, we accept God's love into our hearts. God's peace comes into our hearts. And we understand God's plan of salvation, God's plan for our lives. God can speak to us in many ways. God spoke to my family, especially to my father, through a dream. My father, born in Auckland, New Zealand, was not following God, not caring about things of God, just living for the things of the world. But thankfully, God spoke to him through a dream. And it showed him, yes, I am a sinner. I need to get my heart right with God. How do I do it? Okay, it gave him the desire to be serious, to find out. You know, many of us were just going through life following whatever we've been taught as a child. But are we really a true servant of the living God? Are we really close to God? So it's when he opened his heart, he received forgiveness of sins through that power of the righteous, holy blood of Jesus, which washes away the sins of the world. I was blessed. God's power hit me at a youth camp. So I always believe in God's power. And I believe that the Holy Spirit of God can touch people, can change their hearts, can change their lives, can save them, and they can cry out to God, yes, God, I will follow you. I will follow your plan of salvation. I will have my place in heaven. Okay, when Jesus rose from the dead, he went back to heaven, and he sent his people to preach the good news, to tell the people, turn away from your sins and turn to the living God, turn to the Savior. And our responsibility is to preach this message to the whole world. Yes, but it's your responsibility to say, God, am I saved? If I was to die today, would I go to heaven? Are you absolutely sure of your salvation? Are you walking in God's light? Or are you still got darkness in your life? Do you know God as your eternal Father? Your loving Father? Or is God just someone, okay, yes, he's out there, but you don't really know him? There's a difference between believing in God and knowing God. Difference between acknowledging, yes, God created this universe, but actually being a true friend of God. So there are people in the Bible, like Abraham, Moses, who were called the friends of God. So God would look at them and say, yes, you are my true friend. Can God really look at your life and say, yes, you are my true friend? You know, many people think that they, yes, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm good. But we all have to stand before God at the end, and God knows who are his and who are not his. So that's why for me, when God's power touched my life, I just started pleading with people, make sure of your salvation. Get your heart right with God. Make sure that you are on the path to heaven. So the good news of salvation, it's from God's plan that he wants to have a people that can walk in his perfect light. The devil did not qualify. The evil spirits did not qualify. The people who reject God do not qualify to enter the kingdom of heaven. So there is no sin in heaven. So that's why we have to be transformed from being a sinner into being a saint. From a sinner to a saint. Being a saint is not some funny word, and man can't determine who is a saint, but God does. And he says that whoever belongs to me, you are no longer a sinner, you're a saint. You're one of my children. And we have that close walk with God. Walking with God is a daily walk. It's not a thing you just do on Sunday morning or when you have a spare moment or a spare bit of time. It's actually knowing God watching us all the time. Knowing that God is watching us every day. And it's walking with God step by step through faith every second of your life. I'm walking with God. I know that God's presence is with me. God is in my heart. Jesus Christ is in my heart. That's God is with me. I think there's so much more to God's plan of salvation. We just touched a little bit of it. But it's good to have a good foundation in your understanding of why we are born, why the world is the way it is, why there is, you know, this battle between good and evil in the world, and how we can walk with God to be a part of God's plan.